I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you've got. I want you to stand to your feet. If you don't have any of that, the scriptures are on the screen, and you can follow along with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to call your attention to verse 10 through verse 14. The scripture says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, folks, that's something to think about. That's something to think about. You know, this life's not the end. And it is appointed unto man once to die, according to Hebrews 9:27. And after this, the judgment. We're all going to give an account. And you say, well, so-and-so's getting by with this here, and so-and-so's getting by with that. Well, they hadn't gotten past the ultimate authority. That's God. They hadn't gotten past the ultimate authority. That's been God. So we're all going to give an account for whatever we do. That everyone may receive of the things done in the body according to he that hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ," and let me just say this while I'm on that. When it says for the love of Christ, that's not talking about your love for Christ. That's talking about Christ's love for you. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus judge that if one died, then we're all dead." Before I came here as pastor, I pastored a church in Comot, Tennessee. It was the Sweeten Hill Church. Literally, when I was elected pastor, the vote was 7-6, and they called me. First Sunday was an awkward Sunday. 7 for me and 6 were against me. I was actually working in a machine shop. I ran horizontal and vertical milling machines. I ran metal and cast iron, and I'd work all day, and then I would get off work, and I would go home, and Barbara would have my everything set for me to bathe, and I'd bathe and take a brush and brush the cast iron out of my hands and become the preacher and drive an hour to Comot, Tennessee. And I'd get in that community, and I'd go door to door talking to people about Christ and trying to build this church, because I needed to build it, because, as I say, we started out with 13 people. I've always believed it's okay to start small, but even if you start small, think tall. Amen. It can be big in your heart before it's big anywhere else. And we was reaching a few people, and there was a gentleman in our church, in our area. His name was Frank Tate. Frank Tate. And Frank would have just been the local drunk. He would have been the drunk of that community. Frank got so many DUIs, he quit driving and started riding his horse. It's not an exaggeration. He'd ride his horse up and down the highway. I remember on one occasion, Frank was drunk and rode his horse into the store to buy his beer. True story. And but I got a burden. He was no way related, as I say, but I got a burden for Frank Tate. I just wanted to reach him. You know, I think the reason why I probably wanted to reach Frank is because there were more people in my family that were like Frank Tate than probably like you. There were more people in my family, which was a family that was from the wrong side of the tracks. You know, when your dad spent time in prison, and, you know, your family's done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But so I had a lot of family members like Frank, and I wanted to reach Frank. And I'd go to work, and I'd pray, and many times at lunch, I'd just go out and sit in my vehicle, and I'd pray for Frank to get saved. And finally, God placed it on my heart to go down and see this man. What was ironic, he lived right down below the church. And I went down to see this man, knocked on his door and told him who I was and told him I'd been praying for him. And I said, I'd like for you to come to church. And I never will forget what he said to me. He said, well, preacher, I don't know you, but he said, I'll tell you, I'm going to have to do something. He said, I've tried everything, but there's an emptiness in my life. He said, I'm going to have to do something. And I said, well, Frank, God just led me to come down here and see you. He said, well, I thank you for coming. And I was getting ready to leave. And he said, wait, before you go, I want to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, you know that church has been up there all these years. All these years that church has been up there. I've basically lived in the shadow of it. And he said, I want you to know, you're the first one that's ever been down here to invite me. Now, wait. I didn't tell you that to bring accolades to myself. And God knows my heart. I don't want that. I don't want you to look to me in that way. I said, well, Frank, I wanted to come and see you. And then Frank said something that stuck with me for all these years. He said, I want to ask you something else. He said, why did you come? Why did you come? And I don't know the answer I gave, but all these years I've been processing that. Why did you come? Why did you go see that man? Frank eventually got saved, and I was preaching in the area of March of this year. And Frank came to hear me preach. Why did you come? And why do we come? Well, I think there's four reasons why we share Christ. I think there's four calls that every one of us have. You have the call, I have the call, we all have the call. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, there's a call from within. See, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. When we come to know Christ, God puts a love in our hearts that wasn't in our hearts before. When we accept Jesus, there's a love in our hearts that wasn't there before. Now, folks, if you look at verse 10 of the text, verse 10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means those people that I love, those people that you love, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Because verse 11 tells us there's the terror of the Lord. God's a holy God. Let me tell you something. God's holy. And in light of the fact that he's holy, sin has got to be punished or pardoned. Because he's holy. And we know the seriousness of God. And then verse 14 says, it's the love of Christ that compels us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. See, ladies and gentlemen, every one of our hearts, there's a call that comes from within. Because of what God has done for us, we want to share that with other people. We're no different from the people in the Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 40, Andrew came to know the Lord. And Andrew said, now there's something within me. And I want to talk to my brother Simon. See, there's that call. There's the call that comes from within. But then there's a second call. It's the call that comes from without. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, speaking of Paul, and they passing by Mysa came down to Troas. Paul literally was preaching, and he wanted to go east to Asia Minor. He wanted to take the gospel where the gospel had not been. But notice what happened. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man in Macedonia. And the man in Macedonia said, come and help us. Come and help us. Paul wanted to go east. God said, no, Paul, I want you to go west. To Europe, because there was a voice that said, come and help us. me tell you something. There are people all around us that are crying out for answers. There are people all around us that are searching and striving and wondering, is there any meaning to the madness? There's calls from without all around you. There's calls from without all around me. And the calls that are coming from without, only we have the answer, because Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other, because Jesus is the way. Jesus Christ is the answer. Just about every day of my life, I'm in a hospital room. You say, Pastor Benny, what is your really philosophy about ministry? And when you get to your core, when you see pastors becoming CEOs and seeming to be ostracized from people, what is your philosophy? The last time I checked, a shepherd smells like sheep. I think a shepherd ought to smell like sheep. Let me tell you something. Transformation only comes through association. It only comes through association. So just about every day of my life, I'm in a hospital. I remember years ago being in a hospital. And a lady that was in the hospital at that time, I thought she was old. She was 50. Now it's young, 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 amen. I thought she was old, but I looked into her eyes and I could see the emptiness in her soul. I was a young preacher, and every time I'd go, there'd be people there, probably more of a politician at the time, trying to please everybody, thought ministry was about pleasing everybody. When you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please, but if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. Amen. I'd rather be right with God's right with anybody else. Let me tell you something. I'd rather offend you than offend God. I don't want to offend God. But I'd see that lady, and I never shared Christ. And one day I was visiting like I do just about every Saturday of my life, just like I did yesterday. I was visiting near the University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee. And God spoke to my heart and said, drop off the mountain and see that lady. You said, Brother Benny, was it a voice like you're speaking today? No, it was much louder than that. Drop off the mountain. And I said to the Lord, I'll be down there Monday. I'll see her then. I went to church the next Sunday morning, popped up on the platform. I can still see the man walking out that door. And he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, and called that lady's name, said she died last night. I wish I'd went. During that time in our area, there was a young girl by the name of Kim Burrows that was 23, and she needed a heart and lung transplant, and I was 24, I think. Kim was very, very sick, and I'd go see Kim, but I never really talked to her. We'd talk about the Atlanta Braves, and we'd talk about a lot of things, but I didn't talk to her about the Lord. She got real sick, and one night a call came to mine in Barbara's house, and Paul said, Benny, she's asking for you. She's asking for you to come. She wants you to come to St. Thomas Hospital. She's asking for you. I got in my vehicle. I went to St. Thomas Hospital. Little Dodge red pickup truck. I went into the room and I said, Kim, we don't have time to talk about the Braves. We don't have time to talk about fun things. Kim, you're very sick. And I want to know that you're right with God, Kim, when you die. I said, Kim, wouldn't you like to pray the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart? And her little boyfriend was across the bed and he stood up and he said, Kim, he's telling you the truth. My daddy's a preacher, Kim. He said, he's telling you the truth. I said, well, Kim, don't you want to pray that prayer? And she said, yes, I do. She reached up and pulled that oxygen mask off her face, prayed that prayer. After we finished praying the prayer, she looked at me and she said, Preacher Benny, the guilt's gone. The guilt's gone. I feel clean now. I feel clean. I said, Kim, you are clean. God's forgiven you. I got in my vehicle and I was driving back home about 2 hours, an hour and a half away. I was driving back home, and while I was driving back home, Kim died. But I had mixed emotions. I thought about how wonderful that was. But I thought about that other lady. And I thought about she might have been just that easy if I'd just shared Christ. Benny, she's asking for you. She's asking for you to come. Folks, there's people all around us. And they're searching for answers. There's a call from without, and it's coming to every one of us. See, folks, there's a call from within. There's a call from without. But I want you to know something else. There's a call from above. There's a call from above. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Hebrews 12 and 1 says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The people in heaven, they're cheering us on. They're saying heaven's wonderful. They're saying this is a wonderful place. It's a call from above. About 27 years ago, when I came here, we had a small church, and I'd preach, and there was a man in our church. He was a good man, a good man, but he didn't know Christ. And let me tell you something. Being good's not enough. If just being good, how much good do you have to be? I don't know if that's good grammar. But how good do you have to be? It's not enough, ladies and gentlemen. And I would preach. And he'd raise his hand, but he'd never pray the sinner prayer with me. He'd never pray the prayer. Finally, I went to his house. His name was Boyd. 27 years ago, his wife seated right there. And I said, Boyd, don't you want to give your life to Christ? We began to talk about the Lord. And I'll never forget what Boyd said to me. He said, Preacher, I don't want to miss out on heaven. I don't want to miss out on heaven. I said, you don't have to miss out on heaven. And I said, let's pray this prayer. And I'll never forget, he fell down in the living room floor. This man that was very sick fell down in the living room floor and prayed to receive Jesus Christ. You know what? You know what heaven's saying to us? Don't miss out on heaven. You know what heaven's saying to us? Don't miss out on heaven. You know what the people in heaven are saying to your family members, your mom, your dad, your grandparents that have gone on? They're saying, don't miss out on heaven. Don't miss out on heaven. You say, Pastor Benny, you've got no proof for that. I've got all kind of proof for that. Luke 15 and 10 says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. While the angels don't know anything about a blood-bought redemption story, that's the saints of God that rejoice. The saints of God rejoice every time a person comes to faith in Christ. And what the saints of God are saying to us, don't miss out on heaven. Don't miss out on heaven. See, folks, let me tell you something. There's a call. It's from within. There's a call from without. There's a call from above. And if I just wanted to be a if I had the backbone of a weasel, I'd stop right there. But that's not where the story ends. There's a call from beneath. There's a call from beneath. In Luke chapter 16, there was a rich man, ladies and gentlemen, who died and went to hell. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. You don't go to hell because you're rich. You don't go to hell because you're poor. You don't go to hell because you're educated. You don't go to hell because you're uneducated. You don't go to hell because of this sin or that sin. A person goes to hell because they don't accept Jesus. That's why a person goes to hell. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame." This is what I say. Somebody said, "Oh, I'll go to hell. All my buddies will be there." There'll be no friends there, by the way. There'll be no friends there. You say, "Well, I'm pretty bad." But let me tell you something. Eternity's too long to be wrong. You're not that bad. You're not that tough. Not many atheists in foxholes. I'm tormented in this flame. Now think about this. The dogs came up and licked the sores on Lazarus' body. If he had sores on his body, no doubt he did that right there. But he said, "I could care less. Have him take those fingers that have been where the dogs have licked. Have him take those fingers where the saliva of the dogs have been. Have him take those fingers and stick it in water because I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember." Somebody said, "Wait, brother Ben. If we go to hell, it's all over." No. If a person goes to hell, you'll remember. You'll remember the day that a preacher stood up and preached in a church and told me. See, the memory's still with you in hell. Remember. Wouldn't it be horrible to go to hell and remember I had an opportunity to accept Jesus and said, "No. What of this world is worth that?" Remember, in your lifetime you had good things, likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Verse 26 says, and there's a great gulf, can't pass. I don't mean it's wrong. I don't want to offend anybody. But there is no purgatory. There's no purgatory. It's no purgatory. And I don't want to offend you. Verse 27 says, then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, send him to my father's house." And then he went on in 28. He said, "I've got five brethren. I don't want them to come to this place. I've got five brethren." You know what hell would say to us today, folks? There's a call from beneath, and here's the call from beneath. Whatever you do, don't come here. If we could lift the lids off hell for just a moment, hell would say, "Don't come here. Don't come here. It's worse than we thought. Don't come here." You say, "Well, I've never heard preaching like this before." Let me tell you something. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And I'm going to one day stand before God, and I hope I can say, "God, I preached it all. I didn't just preach a happy, clappy teaching. I didn't just tell them how God was going to heal them when I ought to be telling them how God's going to kill them if they don't get right with him." That's not your friend that just gives you happy, clappy. Your friend's a person who loves you enough to tell you the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. The only thing that's going to set a person free is the truth. I said, "Brother Benny, why are you so passionate about this? I told you about leaving that machine shop, going door to door, knocking on those doors." I said, "Brother Benny, it was the money. If I was preaching for the money, I'd quit a long time ago. Go door to door and knock on those doors." I went to one man's door. His name was Jerry. Jerry lived a rough life. Did a lot of things he shouldn't have been doing. Was living with a young lady and they weren't married. I'd knock on Jerry's door and I'd say, "Jerry, I wish you'd come to church." Jerry'd say to me, "Well, preacher, if I walked in, the walls would collapse. If I walked in, preacher, the roof would fall down. Oh, preacher, I've got a lot of wild oats to sow. But you're doing a good job down there at the little church." He'd pat me on the head and say, "Keep doing it, boy. Keep doing it. I'm proud of you. But old Jerry's got some living to do. I said, well, Jerry, I sure wish you'd come to church. I love you. I sure wish you'd come to church, Jerry. Jerry got to drinking real heavy. And he and the lady he was living with got in an argument. Jerry got on a motorcycle. Got on his Harley Davidson. I used to like to ride a Harley Davidson and put my hair in the wind. I really like putting it in the wind when it wasn't gray. Put my hair in the wind, ride the Harley. Jerry had more than a Harley. He had alcohol in his system, and alcohol and gasoline just don't mix. He lapped a curve, a place called Myers Hill. He lapped a curve, and Jerry lost control of that motorcycle. And they called me and said, would you come to the hospital? I'll never will forget it if I live to be an old man. I went to that hospital, and I pulled up on the little grounds. There was people praying all around. I was just young, but there was people praying all around. They was praying for Jerry because Jerry's mama was a godly Christian lady. They was praying for old Jerry. And I pulled up, and they said, let him in. Let him in. That's the preacher. That's him. Let him in. Let him in. Let him get to Jerry. Let him get to Jerry. And I made my way and walked straight back through the emergency room, and I heard Jerry's voice. And the very nurses and doctors that was trying to save Jerry's life, Jerry was cussing them with profanity. And before I could get to Jerry, he was gone. And his mom looked at me and she said, Preacher Benny, I want you to preach Jerry's funeral. And I so dreaded that. But I preached his funeral. And back home in Tennessee, it's just a little different. You know, it's just a little different place. They still believe Earth's flat, wrestling's real, nobody's walked on the moon. Just a little different where we lived. And I finished preaching that funeral. And it was customary what they would do at the end of the funeral. Everybody would come around and take one last view. And it was customary for the preacher to stand there at the head of the casket. I stood right there at the head of the casket. And the last one to come around was that mom. And that mom got up and she came to that casket and she looked down to her baby and shared she loved him. Put her arms around him. Lifted him up in the casket. And then she dropped him or placed him down back in the casket. And folks, listen, I'm 52. I'll be 53 Friday if you want to send money. She dropped him softly in the casket. And if I live to be 153, I'll never forget what happened next. She raised up and she looked me right square in the eye. She said, Preacher Benny, my baby's in hell. My baby's in hell. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a call from within. There's a call from without. There's a call from above. There's a call from beneath that says, whatever it takes, reach people. Whatever it takes, reach people. It's not about playing games. It's about reaching people.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.